What up, everybody? It's the Well-Spoken Token coming at you again with another episode. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so happy that you clicked this link today. I'm so glad that you decided to come chop it up with your boy. You saw the Well-Spoken Token had new stuff. I gotta come check it out. Whether you're in your car, driving on the way to work, on the way home from work, if you're in your bed with your crusty, rusty feet, hey, look, I'm just glad you checked it out. Ladies and gentlemen, I have got an illustrious, fabulous guest on the show today. She goes by the name of Spicy Lady Entertainment on Instagram. You can check her out there. Ma'am, please, Miss Spicy Lady, please tell the people what's up.
Hello, everyone. What's up? It's your girl, Ashanti, aka the Spicy Lady herself. Bro, bro. It's good to be on here. It's been a while since I've been a podcast. I'm excited.
Heck yeah, I'm glad you decided to come on out here and check us out. She came up here to chill with the squad, y'all. If you guys have checked out her Instagram, she has no business being down here slumming it with your boy. She makes some fantastic content. She keeps me laughing. She's got some awesome backdrops. I meant to ask that freaking Fooly Cooly backdrop, the curtain. Oh my gosh, man. It's so dope.
It's my favorite. I love Fooly Cooly. That anime is definitely one of my favorite little, like, nostalgic, okay. You know, so when I saw the banner of this one, it's called Uncivil. I don't know if he's still making banners, but like, he makes limited edition banners.
Yo, okay, okay. Little plug.
I need to get this. Like, it took like 10 months to get it, but I was like, it's worth it.
Okay, you know, this shipping. Shipping from Malaysia or something like that. Who knows? But no, you said Uncivil. Like, I'm gonna go look it up. I'm checking that out. About Fooly Cooly though, you said nostalgic. Did you ever get a chance to check out Progressive?
Yes.
I haven't watched it yet. So like, do you recommend it? Is it pretty good? Like,
I do. I like all the Fooly Cooly. A lot of people have their favorites, but I don't really have one. I love just the world that they build in it.
Yeah.
I did like Progressive. I don't think I've recently finished. Progressive's the one with the girl, right?
Yeah, I think the way that was all set up is that, like, the second season was all, well, yeah, you know, Progressive was, like, a female-centered one, you know, because Naota was, like, kind of a coming-of-age story for, like, a lot of young males, and so yeah. I think he was trying to do that with Progressive, but I was like, dang, I don't know whether or not I'm going to like it. Is it going to ruin the old one for me?
No, I like Progressive because it talked on real issues with friendship, which, you know, where it's, like, sometimes, you know, especially in high school, you know, friendships change, you know, sometimes people leave, sometimes people, but it's all about growing and knowing that it's not anyone's fault. It's just what it is. And there's a conversation that was had, I'm not gonna spoil it, but there's a conversation that was had that I really related to personally. Okay. And I was just like, dang, like,
no, I love
it's
that.
Real. Like, yeah. So yeah, I like Progressive. I like.
All right, bet. I'm definitely checking that out. You know, you might catch a little video. Who knows? I might post about it. Because, like, Fooly Cooly is a huge thing for me, my brothers. Like, I remember waking up at 3 a.m., like, Adult Swim, just like, oh, snap, what is going on?
Pillows. It's something about the Pillows music. Their music is so, like,
for
just
real. Like, yo, I mouth imitate that all the time. It's, like, pretty bad. Like, because it triggers something in me. The dopamine gets a rush in, like, all my nostalgia, like, triggers a sender. It's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. So, like, speaking of coming of age stories, like, guys, today on the pod, we're going to be discussing a bit of a coming of age situation. A lot of us have had these experiences, especially being young black nerds, especially, you know, we're one of the most educated people out here. You know, our parents are always telling us, go to college, go make this happen, especially as millennials, you know. And what we end up with is we have a large portion of those individuals deciding not to finish. And we're going to talk about, like, you know, Kanye's first album, you know, College Dropout. So I advertise all the time. It's in my intro for my last season about the fact that I'm a college dropout. You know, I attended school for about 2 years and dropped out. Very interesting stories about those. I've told them slightly on pods, but I really wanted to reach out to somebody else and kind of get their college experience. I understand that, like, you did actually finish college, yeah?
Yeah, by the grace of God.
Amen.
I was on the verge of not.
Okay.
Gotcha. So I originally started getting my, so rewind.
Of course. I thought I was going to the beginning.
I thought I was going to be a dance superstar. I love dance. I loved entertainment. I knew, okay, I wanted to work in it. So So I was like, okay, I'm gonna apply to, you know, this dance school and the academics of it. And I'm like, I'm a shoo-in because I got a really good grade. So it's like, you know, it's a win-win.
I'm a quadruple threat. I do it all.
I got denied in both accounts. Like, ooh. They said no academically and they said no to dance. And I was like, dang. Like, but I think that academic one hurt more, mainly because, like, I guess I prided myself on my grades and not really what it was I wanted to do, you know, specifically. Yeah, no,
I get that very much so. Because where'd you go to school? Like, what state did you go to school in?
In Florida, where I'm from.
Okay, so that's the South, you know? Like, so every...
I'm really from Pennsylvania, but, like, I've been in Florida for a long time, so I really wanted to kind of...
So we're going to call you Southeastern. It'd be fine. Like... It's all good. I live in East Texas. I'll be on the east side. You know, I do stuff, you know, all over the place. I'm multinational, multicultural, international, you know. That's not international at all. Like, it's just this nation. Excuse me. Nah, I'm just playing. But no, I was going to say, so in the South or even in the Southeast, most schools these days are focused on standardized testing, which makes us all real good at memorizing. And so, yeah. Like, with those standardized tests, they reward you, right, for, like, cramming your brain with information that you can just get through a test and get done. Yeah. So, like, were you a small town, like, in Florida, or were you pretty big? Like, it was a pretty big population in school?
It was a big school. It was so big that there's a ninth grade center. Like, ninth grade had its own separate school, and then it was 10 to 12. Like,
in their own thing. Okay.
High school, yeah. So it was kind of a new thing for me because in Pennsylvania, I came from a small town.
Yeah.
So, you know, coming here and seeing how everything's so big and large and, you know, I was just like this. You know,
yeah, it's a whole different thing. Culture shock. Like.
No, literally.
Yeah.
So it was like dealing with the outliers of that,
yeah.
You know, with me and then being interested in entertainment, but then also to be interested coming from a family where it's like education is important. I just focused on that and not really what I really wanted to do. So yeah. I guess when I did take that leap of faith to like apply actually myself go. To that. Yeah. So when I failed, I was like, I felt defeated. I was like, dang.
Okay.
So that's when I sat down and was like, I'm going to still keep dancing. I mean, like, there's other avenues to get into the industry. I don't have to go to school for that. So certainly. I was like, but I want to learn the industry. I want to learn the business aspect of it because I don't want to be like these other artists, these other, you know, young professionals who get duped, who have these horror stories of like, you know, so yeah. I was like, I learn the business of it. So that started my journey and getting my AA in business administration, which is just accounting, and it was horrible.
Hey, talk about it, sis. Talk about it. You still got it. You still got it, though. You got the piece of paper that said you went to school.
Man, I hated every second. I hated it. Oh my gosh. I was depressed. I was like, is this even real life? Like, it was bad. No. Thank God for Quizlet, because Quizlet got me through 90% of my degree.
Talk about it. Hey, Quizlet, chunk my lady a sponsorship. You know, she just plugged you. She said she used God, and then immediately after she thanked God, she went straight to Quizlet. She was like, yes. Thank God and Quizlet. Y'all did it for us, sis. Won't he do it? Like,
you joking, but literally looking back, bro, without Quizlet, your girl would not be here.
Nah, talk about it. That's what it I love to hear.
Because I was, you know, it was new for me. I was balancing a lot of firsts. I was balancing my first relationship. I was balancing school, you know, being in school semi sort of on my own. A new job that, you know, that wasn't like a standard. Oh my God, my camera's acting up. A job. So it was like all of these things at once that I was kind of just thrown into. So it's like it was, you know,
that's a lot to me. So how old were you? Like, were you 17, 18 when you graduated?
When I transferred to, because I transferred after I got my AA, there's this program in Florida to where you can transfer to any school in Florida once you do 2 years in the vocational community college school, whatever.
Yeah.
So, and it's funny because when I was getting close to finishing that program, I failed the semester because I was focusing on work and, you know.
Gotcha. What job did you get?
I was working at Kohl's, man.
Okay, you folding clothes. You were at the front desk checking people out.
I was folding clothes. I stayed in the men's department. You know, look, I don't do checkout. I don't do Kohl's cash. I was talking about this the other night on my stream. I was like, because I heard horror stories about customers coming over the counter and I was like, look.
How dare you ask me for my email? What you mean? My phone number. I'm just trying to buy some pants.
I can help you to the men. You need some khakis. right over here, sir. Right over here, you know, but
yeah, absolutely.
Checking out all of that stuff, memberships. No,
absolutely not. Nah, that was the opposite of me. I was always the sales nigga. I was just like, yeah, people are just like, oh yeah, he talks a lot. He's going to be great at this. And personally, I don't like messing with people's days. So like, if you walked up to me with some pants and I want to buy this, I'm like, cool, here you go, bloop bloop, and you're out of there. But then I get like somebody over my shoulder like, you know, you didn't ask him about Kohl's cash, you know, you didn't ask him about the membership, you know, you should have probably like went in and like checked to see if they wanted anything else. Like, did you tell them about the receipt? I was like, no, I gave them everything. I'm like,
you want me to have a 30-minute conversation with this man where the line has 80 people in here? Because the line in Kohl's was always long, child.
It's Kohl's. You got people got funerals to go to, job interviews, somebody trying to like people are in Kohl's to get in and get out because wherever they're going after that, they putting that shit on.
Exactly. No, literally. And the next day returning it. Because don't get me started on the return.
Hey, look, I done dropped some stuff back off at Kohl's. Like, hey.
Because we have a no ask, no tell policy, bro. Like, someone tried to return a Walmart Gap type of shirt.
We don't know if we got to sell this brand here.
But yeah, I stayed in it because I was trained in the men's department, one of the higher up, I guess, lead supervisors. Yeah. So like, I was pretty much like, I knew I was good at my job, but I just didn't do checkout. Like, I was like,
you got to have standards. No, you're worth telling what you can and won't do. Because if you people please like me, you'll be in every position.
But no, that's the thing. That's why it's important to let your job know not to cross lines into your personal life.
Speak that.
Because they sure enough will. I was like, I didn't know how to balance that. So it was to the point to where all of our staff were all college students. We were all college kids.
Yeah, everybody's trying to study and work. Like,
they used to call us because they were short staff because they had a lot of people like quitting.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of their full-time staff were over their hours, so they used to call us during class to come in to work earlier. Yeah. And I'm like,
y'all know I'm in college. Like, what are you like? This is prime school hours. Like, what do you even do?
I'm like, I leave class and I come right to work. You're asking me to come in earlier. Like, don't do so. That would end in disaster. So let's just say I failed that.
Absolutely. Because, hey, look, any supervisor, person in power, they will absolutely value their schedule over yours anytime, every time.
Thank God I did have this really nice manager who's new. She was like, look, I have daughters who are in college. Like, school comes first. So, like, even when I told her I was quitting, I was like, look, I can't do this. Like, this, you know. But
did you throw your apron down, give them the walkie-talkie all, like, rude? Like,
I used to not even pick up the walkie-talkies, bro, at one point. It was bad to where they called me over the intercom.
Yo.
I would not take a walkie-talkie.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, being called over the intercom gives me nightmares, man. I got fired from a job basically over the intercom. It was hilarious.
Oh my God, no. Like, the TikToks where you used to quit over the Martha, you are
Nah, they was just like, paging Lloyd. I'm gonna reverse my name, of course. Paging Lloyd. you need to report to the office and then immediately leave. I was like,
oh my God, what happened?
Oh, see, okay, I was at a boy. Yeah, it's a while. So, oh, no, it's fine. I done told these people everything. Like, I'm an open book, like they say. Now, I was working in a boy's home. I was coming, like, I was always over there. Like, I had a little spot in the back because there's rooms everywhere. I had a little spot in the back. Mm-hmm. So when I got too drunk, I would just, like, go late. That was a bad time. I was a little bit of an alcoholic. It was years ago. So I would go find a little spot in the back. I would, like, rest, go to sleep. Then I wake up at, like, 6 a.m., go cook the kids breakfast. Like, I was a cook. So, like, I was cool, like, going in and cooking breakfast. I did that. And then I was like, I'm going to go catch a nap. And I'm going to be back by noon to get lunch. That did not happen. They was looking all over for me. They was asking the kids, like, you see Mr. Johnson? Like, do you know where he's at? Like, my dad worked there at the time. So they're like, have you seen your son? He's like, nah, he's the one that found me after they called over the intercom. He was like, I knew you was back here in your little spot.
crying.
Nah,
I'm
it was crying. Wild.
That was me at Kohl's. I used to hide in the men's department, man. Like I.
Now don't tell me you was in the pants like you know, like shrunk.
Yep,
back.
I used to fake folding pants up. You know, although the men's pants were always a mess, so it was like it was an excuse. Oh. You know, but you know they tend to want you to skip over that and leave that for last. But I used to be like, oh, you know, just strain it up.
Yeah, you know, a little busy work. You know, just a little something over here I can mess around on my phone on. I get that. So like with all those responsibilities and crazy stuff going on at Kohl's, I completely get like having your mind there. Because, like, that's another thing that was drilled into our heads is, like, young kids, especially young black kids, is like, yo, not only do you need to go to school, but you need to work. Like, work your ass off. Like, you need to. Yeah. And so were your parents able to financially help, or were you working mostly to get your own little cash? Or
they were, but majority of, I guess, like, the help came from grants and loans because of my situation. I heard
that.
You
borrow that money.
So, yes, and then another issue, right? So I'm getting paid for my job and I'm getting grants.
Gotcha. That, so they're, you know, yeah, that's
so
a lot
I'm,
of paperwork.
I'm thinking, I'm bald, you know, I'm 18 years old. I've never seen this much money in my life. You know, I'm thinking like I'm about to go to Dubai, you know. I got three,
yes,
you know,
indeed.
I got a comma in my savings account.
Exactly. I was like, once you see that first comma in there, I'm like, oh snap, this is a different world. I'm a different breed. Like
so, you know, there, you know, although I was responsible kid, but like, I guess I wasn't like thinking long term. I was just like, okay, well, I got money. So
yeah.
I mean,
anybody like, were you a financial literacy family? Was that something that was like talked about a lot with your family? As like how to handle money or deal with money? Me neither. Like that was never me as far as like how to actually handle money. Like when we got commas in the bank account, man, we going to Chuck E. Cheese, we eating pizza, cables back on. Like
especially income tax season, like that was
oh yeah, that's
like,
second Christmas. Like
that's
the best
birthday
time.
And Christmas. No, literally, you know, because my birthday's around income tax season, so it's like, hey, look, we skipping Christmas, and you get good
exactly.
Birthday or what? And it was like, okay, birthday.
Like, you want to have fun when the sun's out or what? Like,
and so after that, after failing that semester and realizing that, you know. I was close to I need something. Got to get.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because prior to I was kind of already depressed because I was like I'm getting close to finishing my 2 years and there's no school that has a degree program that I like and I don't want to go into a field that I don't like because I already don't like the thing I'm in.
Yeah.
I just like it because I'm learning just business tools, you know, that will help me. And, you know, in the long run.
No, absolutely. So when you first started, you went in for the business. You were like, hey, I'm going to go to the AA and do the 2 years and go from there.
Yeah.
Did you fail the semester at AA?
Yeah. Well, my associate's degree. I failed the last semester I was supposed to graduate.
Okay.
It was either like, I felt like two classes. I passed one, but I failed two. So, but they have great forgiveness. So I was able to use that and still be on track towards graduating.
Yeah.
So I was glad I was like, okay, so I need to, that's when I was like, all right, I need to get my act together. And so that's when I kind of like quit my job. I was like, look, can't do this, you know, cause at the time I was leaving class, going right to work, you know, and I was working I hate when Kohl's does it during the holidays. Kohl's extends their hours to like 1 a.m.
Yeah. For those those late night shopper stuff, like that stuff can be like pretty murder on a person.
And they start in like September and that's when school starts. So it's like I have 1 month of a regular schedule and then it's like I'm working to 2 a.m.
Like,
and that's when most assignments are due. So it's like it was...
Yeah, when do you have time to do anything? Like, you're back there trying to do homework and calls. Like, and I got you.
Yeah, that, and then, like, I was in a relationship that wasn't the best. We both didn't know what we were doing. So, it was, like, it wasn't what it was
supposed to be. It wasn't.
So, that's when I stopped myself. Was like, okay, I need to make changes. So, that's when I quit my job.
Did you end the relationship, or did you
I did. Okay. I had to because, you know, he was... Look, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk bad about
it. We ain't using his name, but you can if you want to. Give him the smoke.
But he was kind of telling me things like you ain't really gotta go to school. You know,
oh no, okay, I got you. His mentality was fucked up.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. We're,
well, excuse me, whoever you are, young man, years and years ago, like it.
But you know, it's we were both young. It was both of our first relationships, so it was like kiddiness, you know. That's when I was like, I need to make changes. So that's when I, you know, end things with that. And then that semester, I made goals. I was like, I'm gonna get straight A's, you know, because I really want to do that. And I did. I got straight A's. I made the dean's list, And then that's when I saw that this school had a whole new program for entertainment management, and I was like, "Yo, this is kind of dope!" Like, you
up
know,
my alley,
and,
like immediately,
and a new like degree at that. So I was like, "Thank you, God!" Like everything works out, you know. Because had I graduated on time, I probably would have been dropped out. Because I'm like, there was nothing, you know, there for me.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, that's kind of my little story. And I graduated last fall, so.
Like, fantastic. Congratulations. We always love to hear the success stories, especially when it's got so much turmoil kind of like in the middle, because like that college experience is easily depressing, especially when you're like, it's like the weight of the world. Like you're literally out here. Yeah. Like, oh, wow, I'm out here on my own, which is kind of what happened to me. Like my college experience was interesting because I started off at a junior college. And I was like, oh, I'll transfer. And I was always into theater and stuff like that. So I completely understand like the entertainment situation. When I went into it, I actually ended up getting a scholarship. It was only like $1,500, like, you know, for theater school and stuff. I was like, well, excuse me, for theater to go to school. And I was like, yeah, this is incredible. Like, my parents are not going to have to pay any money for me to go to school. And like, I was very happy about it because they dang sure weren't going to be able to. And they told us, it was like, yo, like, make a way. But that was for us, I grew up in a small town. So grades and stuff like that became like, when I started off high school, I was very competitive, very much wanted to like be a part of that, like top 10 DAs, deans, that kind of thing. DAP is what they called it here. And I was like, you know, I was really into that. And then like probably about my junior year, I just kind of like the stress of it all, because they really like push it on you. Like when about that time, I was like, do I really want to? Like, and when I found like theater as an outlet, I was like, okay, this is definitely it. But going to college and actually doing the like theater situation, I loved it, enjoyed it. And if it wasn't for the fact that I got expelled, like not expelled, but expelled, criminally trespassed, I probably would have had a better like situation there. It was some wild stuff. Like essentially the year before I went to college, there was a issue at the school with individuals coming onto campus with like without IDs, things like that. And a girl was assaulted. So it was a situation where they were ramping up security. I was like, okay, well, hold on. I don't necessarily want to like cause any problems or anything like that. So I started trying to like abide by the rules, like wearing a lanyard. But between like school and being forgetful, I just ended up not. Like three times after that, they criminally trespassed me from school. They were like, you can't come anymore. I was like, whoa, they withdrew all my grades. So that really deflated me. Yeah, it was wild. It was a wild experience. And like while I was at school, I was enjoying myself, but I found myself shirking all my regular classes in order to go to like theater stuff. So like I feel like when I went to school, I might have been like a little too immature, like in the brain to even like continue that whole thing. And I've always thought about going back, but personally now that I've kind of like found a lane and something that I'm really interested in, I'm like, I don't even really need to go. But I was going to ask, did you find like that having your degree here in business, is it helping? Like, have you started trying to see the pitfalls and things like that of that?
Yeah, look, I shout out to Rosen College Hospitality. Like, look, that school, amazing. You know, I have certain quarrels with the school with like their diversity inclusion, you know. Ooh, but
okay, so like mostly white or mostly like,
yeah, mostly you know, white. But they value information, they value helping students get into their career fields that they want to. That's okay. what really drawn me to the school. And the curriculum, it was really the curriculum that drawn me, it was like specific things that I knew I wanted, like not just like, oh, this is something I could use. Like, and no, it was like, this is entrepreneurship class. This is, you know, being a leader, like, you know, leadership entertainment courses. This is, you know, how to make a Broadway, how to fund your own
Broadway
events,
show.
Like, you know, things like that. How to get funding, grants, like information that like you need,
like, yeah, absolutely, to actually 100%. Like make these things reality, like,
yeah, if, that people on their own go to and on do their own research because they don't, you know, there's something that's specific.
There's so no skill, like there's almost it's awesome that they offered a program that kind of gave you this information and stuff, because it's really not out there. And I love that that's like Florida centric, because there's so many like artists and a lot of famous people, entertainers that come from Florida. So it's pretty interesting for them to have added that curriculum. You said you just graduated last fall?
Yeah, last fall. And what's great about this was, and too, like they have, they recommend you take 3 internship classes. So basically just get a job in the field.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they help provide you with those jobs. So whenever you come on campus, there's always employers from different companies on their recruiting.
That's like, what's up. Day.
So yeah, like you, so you can come from class, learn something new, and you could turn like, oh, look, Disney's hiring, or Universal's hiring, or you know, this new up and coming, you know, place is hiring. So they have the resources there available to you. You just have to make that initiative to do it. And so that's what I really love, how it was just like a common, like inspiring atmosphere.
Absolutely. That sounds like a breeding ground for like awesomeness. Like,
yeah, the only thing was I wish that they would focus more on entertainment, not in the theme park aspect, you know, because you know, Disney's down the street, you know, I get it, you know, and they kind of run the whole like hospitality, young professionals, like, which is, I get it, but there's a lot of kids like me who I'm noticing who's kind of like feeling left out, especially in the clubs department, where we're like, hey, we need something more like with music, with dance, with, you know, with Broadway shows, plays, like more of like that.
Let's try to get a more of a wider range. I see what you mean by diversity in that situation.
Yeah. So, and most of that's tended to be like Black kids, POC kids, or just kids in general who are creatively different to what
they're
the
not
school
the
was trying to design, you know, to, you know, to be like, we're, you know, we were the eccentric kids. So
they needed a spot for the artist. Like,
yes.
No, I get you.
So, yeah, but besides that, like, I love this degree. I had some like, I had wonderful teachers. I had one specific professor who really broke it down for me. I really, you know, especially with leadership, which I really love. And I love reading books. And with him, he had books that were like, it wasn't just like textbooks. It was like books by authors, books that we know.
Like actual, like were they self-help books, knowledge style books, like just
both, all of the above. Like it was, there was one we read about the history of Sesame Street, and he used the leadership of that. And basically he was saying, look, like these new, you know, companies, new inventions, you know, didn't start by having one like foot in the door and one foot into another job. They all quit their day jobs to invest 100% into what they were doing, with, you know, naysayers saying like, hey, you know,
hey, this is a bad idea, why would you do that? No, I absolutely
and
get
hearing
that.
That really like made me being like, dang, like, because we're taught like,
oh yeah, no, absolutely,
you need a backup plan, you just
you need a side hustle, like, hey, that might not work, that might not go, like,
and here's this saying like, no, in order to have a successful business, you have to take risks, you have to take chances on yourself, because if not, it's not going to be a full force thing, it's not going to be a sure product thing. And I part of me kind of always knew that, but I was battled with it, because I was like, no, that's just me being, you know, whatever. Yeah. But hearing this man who has all, you know, has experience and all this,
who's
saying
here to
that,
teach
like,
you, like, you
know, this is what it is, I was like, you know what? Okay. Like,
no, you're right. So, you're right. No, I get that.
Yeah.
Because, like, when it comes to knowledge, right, it's something, and people always use that cliche-ass term, like, oh, you want to hide something valuable, man, put it in a book, you know? I don't know if you've ever heard that term. But, people say, like, knowledge as far as, like, books and stuff goes, like, my God, my brain just completely jumped. I was like, wait a minute, knowledge and books, nigga, what are you talking about? What I meant to say is that books themselves, I found over time, have, like, opened up a huge world for me as far as my professional career goes, because I didn't know outside of like YA fiction, YA novels, things like that, and outside of the normal like kind of cliche like self-help books, that there are actually books out here, but from people who have created things that you love, people that have like participated in mediums that you consume every day, that have written whole like basic manuals to kind of set you up, or at least give you a perspective on like how to make these things real and concrete. And so when it comes to your, like, the school itself, right, they, you said it was mostly like, you know, in the theme park area, they're mostly people trying to like move you from here to like hospitality, like hotels and stuff.
Yeah, okay. Because Rosen, I'm sorry, you know, because I used to be an ambassador there, you know, so I should be knowing, you know, but
yeah, no,
the guy who owns all the Rosen hotels, he created this school for that purpose, to have kids come in and learn and have access to the bustling of Orlando with, yeah, you know, what they have to offer. So he donated a lot of money to the school, and he's done a lot for the school, you know.
So obviously they would like skew that way. They would be like, okay, yeah, let's try to like make back on that investment.
You know,
yeah,
we get discounts on his hotels, you know, like, what are you gonna do? You know?
No, I get that. Were there did you find anything like in the entertainment district? In the entertainment industry, excuse me.
Yeah, so I found this little ambassador thing that they were having with Khalid. Basically, they were looking for
like the artist.
Yeah,
that's what's up.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I like. Like, they have I was also part of this music music enthusiast program, club type thing where, okay, we all kind of like talk about music, whatever. I got to volunteer at this one company for EDC. Basically, I was, you know, giving tickets out to the EDC people, you know, yeah, type thing. And so that was a fun experience, kind of, you know, working.
The ambassador thing, you know, getting out here and like smiling in people's faces and handing them cards. Yeah. And like, so, hey, this is awesome. Like, come check it out. Like,
yeah, and so it's just cool because, you know, even when you go into school, into class, there's students who are like, hey, now it's the time, we're looking for people for this, blah, blah, blah. So it was very cool. It's just you had to choose to say yes or no.
Yeah.
But yeah, I found some cool friends out of it. One of my friends, he and I kind of bonded over music because we were in our music business course class, and it was like hell. That class was terrible, and it's sad because you think. You would think it would be a fun class, right?
But it sounds just cool.
My professor, he wanted to relive his heydays of being in his hair cover rock band. So he would always bring it up every time. And this class was 2 hours long. It was a night class. It was 6 to 8 p.m. So I did not want to hear about your hair cover band.
From
I'm trying to learn
from 6:30 to 7:30. I'm trying to tell you about my Twisted Sister cover and the one time that I stage dove off the crowd, man. It was amazing. The drummer
we got extra credit, and we went and gave a review on his new song that he had posted on Facebook.
Oh, wow. Shameless plugs, man. Yo, only in Florida.
Man, I was like, what the? So we kind of bonded over the ridiculousness of that, and he has his book he's writing that's about superheroes, Egyptian black superheroes.
Wait, is this the guy that wrote Black Sands?
No, I was like,
that guy was from a different place.
my friend Eric, it's called Uharu. He's gonna kill me.
Yeah, I was about to say. I was like, "Wow, live."
But
it's okay. We'll cut that. It's fine. We do all edits. So like,
but it's dope. It's just dope because we talked about anime. Like, he wants to get into cosplay. We talked about Saint Seiya, and like, I recommended him Saint Seiya. He was like, "Oh my god, I love this one, Gold Saint." I was like, "Oh my god, yeah, I could totally see you." So like, we just bonded with that kind of, you know. And then like, at the time I did my podcast, I met a lot of, you know, young black creators too, yeah, who had creative things that we kind of will bond over. But it, you know, I wish there was like a place, you know. It was fun meeting them, you know, by chance, but uh-huh, I wish there was a specific place on Rosen, because mm-hmm, on main campus there were places for that, but like,
there's
most
no
of
hub.
Us went home, you know. Yeah, most of us were like, you know, school and we go home. So I wish on that campus, I wish there was a place for black creators specifically that we all could have met with and, you know, done like that. But
Other than that,
it was a fun experience.
I get that totally. I've kind of, I hear that a lot, actually, and not just about like campuses and things like that. Like, that's something that a lot of people express as I'm talking to more like content creators. Like, yo, just, I wish that there was like a place or like a hub that we could all like go and like have these conversations and network and have the ability. Like, and so a lot of people, I find as I'm talking to you, like, a lot of people are starting their own. There's a lot of small, yeah, branch groups that happen. Like,
yeah,
I found Facebook is like huge with those groups that like a lot of anime groups. It's so huge. huge infected. It's almost like there's areas in there that gets pretty toxic.
Yeah, I use Facebook for like if there's any underground events going on in my area. That's the only reason why I use it, because I met really cool people by going, and I found really cool places in my area where I'm like, well, I did not know this place existed. Like And then I realized the underground scene in Orlando, like,
yeah,
it's not as bad as what I thought it was, you know, because I can't stand living here. But now I'm like, oh, this is like pretty, it's getting to be a really creative place, especially for Black creatives. So, there were a lot of cool people. And, but yeah, that's the only one I've used Facebook for. I didn't use it for groups like that. I've heard horror stories about that.
Nah, it's pretty wild. Like, I've decided, like, we thought about it. Like, we were like, maybe we should do a group. And I was like, nah, let's just let these niggas, like, take what they want out of here. Like,
kind of like Spaces. It's like,
exactly.
Although they have gotten a little better with Spaces, you know, not that much, but I have been seeing some, like, productive space where I'm like, oh, okay, this is, you know,
cool. Oh, people are actually in here trying to, like, you know, do something. Like, nobody's out here. Everybody's not just cutting each other's heads off. It's pretty wild out here. Like, so in your time as a content creator, like, have you found any of these, like, places that you feel like safe, any, like, any groups or anything like that on Instagram or anything like that? Because I always like to try to, like, shine a light on anything positive, especially in, like, the communities I'm trying to, like, participate in. So, like, if you have anything, like, because I've bonded with a couple of different people, like the Annie Hoshi podcast, they're fantastic. Like, the guys over there, Annabays, like, they're amazing. And it was just meeting them in random different little spots online. I just wonder if you had any.
There's a lot of them that I interact with. Crap.
You got a top five?
Trying to think. Cause like that's the thing, right? I haven't been interacting that much on Instagram, on like social media lately because of just this process of what I'm going through. Yeah, literally. So it's like I haven't. My dog's anime lately. Like, I'm part of their podcast. They're my brothers. Like, I think they were like the first podcast I was on. That's probably a lie, but they were like the first podcast I was on to where it was so many of them. And you know, because at first I was weird. I'm like, oh, it's like a lot of guys. Like, you know, like,
how am I gonna find a voice? And there's gonna be a lot.
But they just embraced me. They were just the sweetest. Like. Guys ever, and
love to hear it. Men are good, y'all. Look, listen to that. That's a good man story right there. I, you know, that could have went left, y'all, but it went great.
But those are like my brothers now. One of them helps me out with my Twitch. He's a mod on my Twitch stream. He also helps me out. He's helping me on my editing on my podcast, like, you know, free of charge. Just awesome.
True dudes. Brother, like, shit. Like, you know, it's like
literally. So definitely them Anime Lately podcast. Like they love, they all have their, they all, we all come together every Thursday and Sunday, talk about manga news. Saturdays is Shonen Ronin, Sundays we talk about the latest manga chapters that drop on Shonen Jump.
Yes, indeed. And so Sunday's just a great day.
Yeah, so it's just like, it's this being fully embraced by them. They're definitely like my brothers. I love them. And then definitely my girls, Wang Star Bebop, Poppy Long Legs, KJ, and my friend Joy. Like, we all kind of come together too. We met, you know, and then there's just been like amazing friends.
Okay. Basically. You got the regular squad. You got the Justice League going on out here. Oh, excuse me. I went DC, but I saw you got an X-Men t-shirt on. So like, excuse me.
Look. Storm's on here. That's why. You know, I'm more.
Shout out to Aurora, Queen of Wakanda. Well,
I'm more of a DC fan, but I love the X-Men specifically in Marvel. Like,
quick question, just a random thing that popped in my head. Do you think since the divorce, right, between T'Challa and Aurora, do we still call her the Queen of Wakanda? Because he ain't got remarried yet. So like,
I mean, you know, look. All I'm gonna say is read X-Men Red. Like,
it's speaking on it.
Because where Storm is going right now, it's new heights. Like, it's very much new heights and her kind of battling with the mantle that she has been put on throughout the years from being a goddess and being a queen of Wakanda, yeah, getting done over by her husband.
Oh, hold on. I forgot to put some respect on her name. Goddess first, queen second. My bad.
But I think Storm just wants people to realize that she's just a leader. Like, and she just wants respect. And because she gives that to everyone. She
never in my life, like, who has had smoke with Storm for any valid reason? Like, who is she really out here disrespecting?
Like, Storm's about
She's out here life. Bringing rain to, like, whole, like, African tribes and shit. Like, yeah, and running but then realizing country.
That if you don't respect Mother Nature, like, there's problems to that. That's why her power is so that she uses it sparingly, because she's like, I could do damage on the world.
Yeah, no, omega level mutants don't play. Yeah. Like, I'm saying, if Charles Xavier can freeze half the population of the world, just mental freeze them, right? And that's just an omega. Storm could, like, blanket the planet.
That's why I love in the anime series, Rogue was like, Storm, why don't you let loose? She's like, I can't. I will kill everyone.
Listen here, sugar. All right. Like, we can't all be willing. Exactly. Not all of us went and touched Miss Marvel and, you know, got superpowers. Like, you know, you was out here regular, and then you're like, you leech. Like, that's what we should have called you, leech. Like,
you know, like, you can't kiss a boy. Sorry. Like,
you know, that's your worst situation. I mean, mind you, we just go about movies. Because, like, Rogue's had a really, like, being leader of X-Force, different stuff like that, but not nearly the amount of responsibility that's been piled on Storm. That's a great conversation. Really, Storm needs more props. Like, we really do got to start counting her.
That's why I recommend people to read Sword. Read Sword and the new X-Men Red that just came out, I think, yesterday, the first issue.
Okay.
Because Storm is getting ready to, you know, be out here on her 80s punk rock-ish again, you know?
But I'm talking like we going back to Mohawk Storm?
We going back to, like,
Age of Apocalypse Storm?
I'm fighting Cyclops, you know, because he up here doing his wife and his child dirty, because he up here
being, you know, like, being the biggest, worst Boy Scout in the world. Like, that guy is like the worst loyal rabid dog. Like,
I can't stand Scott. And what makes me even pissed is that when I was reading, it was X-Men like 2020, the 2020 run. Mm-hmm. And it was him as a father, him with Cable, him with his other daughter, and I was like, actually liking Dad Scott, and that made me really mad, because I was like, dang, he a good dad.
What I'll say about Scott is that I feel like if he doesn't have a mission, right, he's a nice guy. Like, yeah, if it but wasn't
he's definitely the antithesis of white men privilege.
Like, he's messed up a lot of stuff in the Marvel universe.
Do what I say or you not gang. And it's like, excuse me, but you dead wrong. You the first one to drop the whole gang. And Jean has got a boo-boo on her knee. Like,
what? Like, what? My wife.
King, my wife.
Name out your fucking mouth. Before I open these portals to the laser dimension and freaking drop you. All right. That's a crazy power to have. It's like, no, I don't shoot laser beams. My brain doesn't make laser beams. My eyes just happen to be portals to the laser dimension. It's a weird little flex. Not omega level though. Like,
yeah, you know. But I just love Storm. I love how where this current run of X-Men comics with Storm, how they're referencing so much to her 80s counterpart. You know, when she fought the Warlocks. And was realizing, like, you know,
I could really do something.
There's real issues out here. Like, there's mutants out here who are battling with, like, more than just not being accepted by, you know.
Yeah, it's more than just the, like.
It's how some of these mutant powers aren't, like, change your whole, you know, like, just change you. Yeah. So
some people, these are not only abilities, but partial disabilities.
Yeah. And that's part of what's happening in Sword. There's this, or Sword before Sword, there's like this, shout out to A Blur Central. He broke it down in spaces. I love that guy. Say,
that's my kind of shit. I love like when people break down comics, because I find myself ended up skipping some runs, or like I'll get like behind, just get super busy. So I watch a lot of catch up videos. I love when people do breakdowns on like whole series, or at least like a whole run. So you said it was Sword and then also Red?
Yeah, X-Men Red. It came out, the 6th yesterday or today? Yeah, today. Came out today. And Storm is up to some new things, you know, with Magneto of all people, you know. But
who she also got
in her new costume got debuted too, which I love. It's very much like her old 80s like outfit, you know, but it's like a Fashion Nova jumpsuit, you know. So I'm just like, okay, ma'am, like,
okay.
You know, she went back to her little, you know, her mohawk roots with a little pinup of her hair. So I was like, yes, this is what I love to see. So I am excited to be like, she about to be, you know,
yeah,
about to be out here
on that, you know, on that mess, you know, on that reel. I'm excited. Okay, so you're keeping up with that. You obviously keep up with all the mangas and stuff like that. How are you feeling about, like, and trying to avoid spoilers, because I've been told by my fans, like, yo, nigga, you spoil too much, man. This is killing me, man. I can't even listen to the episode because you got too many spoilers going out. How are you reading One Piece? Like, what are you reading currently?
Oh, man, I'm not reading One Piece, but I've heard through my friend Joy, who's super excited about what's happening. It's funny because whenever I have any, like, articles for work about One Piece, I always go to my girls because they all of them are caught up on the manga.
Got you.
So my friend Joy was like, Ashanti, if you need any information about these latest chapters, I can, like, I don't
get
like
at your girl.
Yeah, but I'm currently caught up in JJK.
My hero. Okay, so I'm sorry. Go ahead. JJK.
No. You can talk about JJK. Like,
That's my. Okay, so I'm not quite caught up, but I'm pretty close. Like, I was like, there's a lot of work. Yo, so this whole, like, how do I even get at it without, like, spoiling this stuff, man? I'm just ready. I'm ready for Yuji's next power up. That's my real thing. Like, I've been in the weeds in my comments lately. We do like versus series. So like we did like a Yusuke versus Yuji thing. And everybody's just like, we just haven't seen enough of Yuji. And it's just, we don't know. Yusuke's obviously going to take him down. I was like, y'all got to give my man more props on that situation there.
I love Yuji. That's my son. I have a lot of sons.
Got a lot of kids running around.
I got a lot of boys. My first son is Mirio. My hero. That's my
favorite character in My Hero. Like, the man is incredible. Power! Like,
literally, Bakugo is my second kid because
you like him angry, apparently, a little bit.
I know I'm going to have a son like Bakugo. I just know it. Like, the way my family is, that's inevitable.
Okay.
Bakugo, and then Asushi from Bungo Stray Dogs.
Check that one out. I'm going to have to get it.
So good. I love literature. So seeing literature as like superpowers, I was like, dope. Now if I'm gonna get some black characters up in there, you know,
we have folk tales. We got plenty of black people out here in stories. All right, we could do a whole Anasi thing,
like The Color Purple. Can you imagine what kind of power that could be? Like, you know what?
Just a huge like dark razor blade, just like just comes out the sky, just like. And all you hear is just in the background, like, I had to fight my whole life. My life I had to fight.
It's just a whole trauma of just like just brings up all your trauma. It's like, what is this power?
Your eyes just like rolling back your head, just starting with the mouth.
Yeah, just go into trance, right? But yeah, those are my sons. But Yuji is new on my list. Same with Megumi. Megumi is adorable. I love
yes,
him.
Yes, sir. Mr. Fushiguro is like,
he's just.
Once I found out about his father and stuff, and like digging into that whole, because like for me, like that was a very interesting turn in the manga. So I was like, is this a Kakashi Gaiden of Jujutsu Kaisen? Because look at this, man. Because we get the whole backstories. Like, this is wild. We way in the past here.
But I love how Gege is a huge fan of like Bleach and like the, you know, the big threes.
Yes.
But you also see a lot of horror movies, like American pop culture movies in his writing, which I also appreciate because it's just like, and then on top of that, he's a troll, so he'll troll super you like much. At every which way.
They kept their freaking gender under wraps for all this time. Like, is it confirmed that they're a he?
Oh, I think. Oh yeah, you're right.
Because like, it's a wild thing. Like, for me, I was like, it's not like it matters, but at the same time, right. I'd like and to
I
just, know.
Because I know that they're friends, they're best friends with Koi Horikoshi. So it's like, I don't want to assume that, you know.
No, I got you. I knew what you meant.
I think he is a he, but for a long time, Koi Horikoshi also kept his gender, you know, hidden for a while too. So I, you know, if I'm wrong, correct me on that. But it's like, I just love the way Gigi writes. Like, it's fun. It's like a TV show, the way it, you know, they leave you wanting for more. But especially this latest chapter. This latest chapter was very much like, hey, you want to see something cool? Me too. Not today, though.
Not it's quite just
like,
yet.
You know what? It's all good.
See, like, but I love that type of artist, especially one that's able to go in and give you so many references, give you such a nostalgic feeling while also wrapping you into a whole new, like, this guy's power scales, like this guy's like power setup. Like, I'm very interested in like a power system when it comes to most animes. I get into weeds and stuff like that. Like, I like Dungeons and Dragons, like role playing and stuff. So it ends up like, how do I make this a stat so I can roll it up later? Like,
yeah. And what got me into JJK was like how entertaining he made like the power systems, like how they explained it. Like,
yes.
You know, cause some power systems, like Hunter x Hunter, you'd be like, what
is this, a textbook?
How would you apply this? Like, you know, but JJK makes it to where it's like, They explain it so fluidly, but then they also have like these adorable, cute little chibi like cartoon drawings to kind of help you through it. And then you also have Yuji kind of figuring out along with you, and even he's like, "What?" You know. So it's that's what I
like.
But
how,
now, no, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh no, I was about to say now with everything's kind of going on and so many new like Jujutsu Kaisen sorcerers that are kind of out there. Like, this guy, that's what I loved about Bleach, right? Like, there was so many different Zanpakutos. Everybody had, it was like personality based, but then also it was like energy based. Like, there was a lot of like interesting thing that went into like a Zanpakuto. And I think that kind of makes an anime's power system, because it gets you so deep in it. Like with Zanpakutos, I remember so many people were like, oh, well, there were Zanpakuto generators online. Like, you could take quizzes and tests like to find out what your Zanpakuto would be. So I'm very excited for like that generation, like for this generation's growing up with Jujutsu Kaisen now, and like all the stuff they're gonna make and things. Like, I'm excited for who's gonna be influenced by Akutami's writing, and like what's next for like for manga and anime.
No, and it's inspiring, because it's like, you really have to sit down and see how this will fit into different scenarios, you know. And I like how Gege plays on that by kind of giving you tidbits, still giving you the rules of it all, but then still like putting in hints of how, like, but you know, things can change.
There's that's always an exception.
Doesn't mean it's set in stone. Yeah. There's things that can f things, you know, up within this. So,
like
Toto, like
yes,
Toto.
Yes. Oh my. I'm not gonna say nothing, man. I'm not gonna say nothing, but like, yo, that's. I love Toto. He's not my favorite, right? Like, my dungeon master, like, that's his favorite guy. Like, he's all about the big bro character and stuff like that. So when he showed up, I was like, oh, I immediately thought of him. But I freaking love that man. The boogie woogie is a dope power. Like, that's just a dope ability. Like, by the way,
and it's dangerous, because you have, like, he has to know like all of his directions.
Yes, because he doesn't want to end up in a wall or something like that.
Yeah, like and even with how him and Yuji, because like either one of them could get hurt.
Yeah,
you know, if he doesn't play it carefully. So I think that's a really cool power to have. It takes true awareness of, you know, not only yourself but like the people around you, and that's why he came out the woodworks like.
By the way,
the highest,
like, yeah, it's like, I'm that dope. Like, I'm out here being able to analyze and see people immediately as I like. Yeah. That's my cool. Like, outside of the fact that I can clap my hands and teleport, I've got high battle IQ, and I think that matters a lot.
And that's why I love the scene when he came to visit Yuji, and Yuji booked it out there. Like, because it was the same exact scene in Bleach with Kenpachi and Ichigo. And looking back, Kenpachi and Toto do have a lot of similarities.
Exactly.
So I just love that. But I also love how Gege adds, like, uses like entertainment movies as like a training tool for curse spirits.
Like, right, it was like, yo, you gotta watch all of these, and anytime your emotions peak, this little motherfucker's gonna beat your ass.
Well, literally, like, and it, like, it with that and like other things you see, I'm like, this is really cool how they, you know, even with
there's a lot of like pop culture references that you weren't expect, like you wouldn't expect,
like the Fight Club with Kanari Hakari, like his ability, like freaking cool and, you know, amazing, and like the whole concept of what he's doing with the Fight Club. So it's just really cool because Kohei does the same thing with Lady Nagant, with the one film with Angela.
Because I wouldn't even be able to tell you, because I was like, I learned
with the,
like,
Carving the Bullets.
Oh, Wanted. Angelina Jolie. Yeah.
Yeah. How she Lady did. Nagant was inspired after Angelina Jolie's character. So it's like, it's really cool.
Yeah. Nah. And I was a little tidbit. I was like, oh, Nagant. So I like kind of looked at it. I was like, oh, it's a Russian sniper rifle. That's crazy. Like, I didn't even know that stuff at all. But like, I what I love about My Hero, and especially like the writing there, is that like the Batman motifs are like huge. There's a lot of like panels that are just like pretty
because
much.
Kohei is a huge Batman fan, so when after, if you're, I'm caught up in it, but that arc of Deku kind of like going on his vigilante, like the whole My Hero verse changed. Like, it was Gotham City. Like,
exactly. Was, like, suddenly, like, it was like
no one was smiling. It wasn't like, it wasn't
we
white got
dear
candles.
Women.
Like,
yeah, we
like,
dear women crying in the streets. Like,
it was dark shading. It was Deku narrating to himself, like, the streets, we out here in these streets, gotta keep going.
And the only people I got to talk to are the voices in my head. Like,
yeah. And we got All Might as Alfred bringing home, making Young Mouse, what did you eat today? Like, you know, just
it's just so good, man. He's just out here with like, you okay, All Might and the Batmobile.
That's why I wished Kohei would have delved a little longer into that arc, okay. You know, but I understand that he wants to end it soon.
Like, yeah, I remember him saying he wanted to end it pretty quickly. And so I knew that, like, some of these arcs where we would be definitely like, I'm trying to wring this out for a little bit more. Like, he had like, what, two big battles during that time frame. It was Lady Nagant and then the dude that controls people, and then after that I think he was coming home. Like,
yeah, he was like, okay, time to bring Class 1A into the fold, because for a moment Class 1A was not around for like a good
little chunk. I was like, Bakugo who? Like,
no, literally
Todoroki. So,
from a writer aspect, I'm you know, I'm not going to be like, it's a disservice. It's like, I personally would have liked to see more of this, because I was so excited when I saw that panel, the beginning of the arc of just the darkness and Deku looking like Robin with his new like color scheme outfit. I was just like, yes, I love DC.
Are you into vigilantes? Like, I don't, is Kohei writing that? Like, or is that
someone else? I think one of his assistants is a control of vigilantes. Mm-hmm. I hear that vigilantes is very much like the cornerstone backstory of what's happening currently in My Hero, of like, you know, of how Hero Society first started off and how it was kind of like, I guess, mirroring of what's happening now. So a part of me does want to kind of go back and read, because, you know, just to see. But right now it's like, well, only don't know. Maybe when My Hero finishes,
I haven't read it either. Actually, I've read chunks. Like, there's been so many random panels and things like that that are huge reveals. I'm like, I gotta go check it out. Like, I didn't know, like, there's been a reveal in Vigilantes that the detective, he actually comes from like a long line of like people who have the ability to like know when like someone's lying. Like, he has like a minor truth detector or something like that. And I was like, cool. Oh, that's kind of dope. It made me even like more interested in the series. I wanted to know if you had checked it out. Okay, I could sit here and chop it up about manga and anime all day, but I don't want to hold you any longer. Like, I'm so thankful that you dropped in on the show. Real quick, because I think we're going to wrap it up here real fast, but I wanted to go ahead and make sure everybody knew where to find you. You got any other things big coming up? Like, what's happening in the Spice Lady Entertainment universe?
Oh yeah, so y'all can catch me on Twitch, every Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday. I'm going live on Friday. And I have a surprise thing coming up for my 3-year anniversary. Can't believe it's been 3 years that I've been streaming. So you catch me at Specialty Gaming on Twitch. So you come out and, hang out with your girl. We play on Tuesdays. We have Spicy Talk Tuesday. We talk about news, entertainment, from gaming, manga, TV movies. Then we play random indie games. And then Fridays we play Fighting Gold Fridays, we play fighting games and first person shooter. And then Saturdays we chill out and have a community stream. So come out, hang out with your girl. Hey. But you can follow me on Instagram, Spicelady Entertainment. You can follow me on Twitter, Spicelady ENT. You can follow me on YouTube, Spicelady Talks.
Yes. Yes.
Go on Twitter, Spicelady ENT. I have a link in my bio and all my social media accounts for everything, even my Screen Rant articles. I'm also a writer for Screen Rant, so go check out those articles as well for your girl.
Big credentials, big woman ting, big woman ting over here. Big woman ting.
So light.
I'm just a writer for Screen Rant. We'll throw that in at the end, by the way. Okay. A little flex on us before she left, guys. She came down here. She slummed it with us over here at the Well-Spoken Token. We ain't slumming for long, though. We on for bigger and better things. We making money this year. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you again, Spicy Lady Talks, for coming on out here. We appreciate you. We love your content. Guys, please check her out at all her socials because she's fantastic. She's going to make your day bright. She's going to bring some information to you. Go check out all the awesome socials that she dropped during the episode because, again, they're great spots for positivity, for blackness, for just in general enjoyment because I got white friends and we love you. We love you, white folks. It's all good. Like, y'all invited. Y'all watched it. Y'all listened to the pod. It's all gravy. So, yeah, but we thank you so much. Spice Lady, go ahead and say bye to the people.
Bye, everyone. Thank you. I had a lot of fun. Hopefully, I'll be back soon. I had a lot of fun with this.
Heck yeah, we're going to have her back soon. She's been fantastic. So we thank you again. We love you here at the Well-Spoken Token Podcast. We out.